Fantasy Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little League?
Fantasy.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
That was classy. And so are you. So am I. Welcome to the Wagner Wire. We're classy here. I'm your host, Adam Wagner. In studio with me, two shotgun co-hosts. We got Joe Houston and Isaiah Collier. Coming in for a little bit, talking a little NBA. It's Zay Collier. You can hear his sweet, subtle sounds on the right call. And the man behind the glass, Sam Pikachu. You can find me on Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. You can find Joe Houston at Joe Houston Jr. You can find Isaiah at AintThat_Zay. Gentlemen, as I recall, I know you love the show off. Yeah, a little tone deaf there.
Is that your Kanye impersonation?
A little, no, I mean, well, I sing a little bit better than Kanye.
Whoa, wait a minute.
A little bit.
I know he's kind of lost it, but don't disrespect him like that.
But I'm Canadian Idol. You got to hear me sing, man. I mean, a little bit. We ain't in a sound studio, though. You know what I mean? Like, I got to have my buffers and going over. I don't need my Dre. I got Sam. Sam's great, but I need my Dre. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome to the Wagner Wire. I am your host, Adam Wagner, and we are already off the rails, as you can tell. You know I like to show off. Yes, that was a little bit of... That's probably one of his best songs, too, man. I mean, that thing was so polished, too, man. Flashing lights, yeah. See me as the paparazzi. Yeah, dude, he was on point, man.
That's an underrated one.
Dude, the video, too. I don't know if you've seen the video, but the video is fire as well.
What album is that? Graduation?
Graduation.
Or? Yeah. Yeah.
It is Graduation.
That was right before he really lost it. That was the album. That was one of his best albums.
Dive and lost
right,
it.
Yeah, right after he made that, he just lost it.
Cliff dive and lost it. Yeah, that is the voice of Isaiah Collier. You can hear his subtle sounds on his podcast and Joe, essentially, because you two have been getting it going, man. Two episodes now, right? Episodes,
yes,
your all's voice has been cooking it. You can hear it on The Right Call, man. Episode 6 now that just dropped,
nine,
right?
Baby, nine. We had nine, dog.
69. Nice, Sammy. Nice. 69.
It's not that kind of podcast.
Not yet.
Especially not with Joe. It will never be.
Sunday Sacramento Wine get going. You never know what's going to happen.
Is something wrong with me?
Trip the beard, Joe, and we'll see what's going on. What's up, boys? How y'all doing today, man? Live and well? Live and well?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
doing
Joe.
Doing pretty good. I mean, I love coming on, man. I'm just glad you're like, hey, he doesn't suck that bad. I'll bring him back.
I love you coming on, too, especially when you don't suck. No, come on, man. How you doing, brother?
Channel like a villain, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. Joe's been kicking it with me, talking a little bit of soccer, man. Talking about a little...
great stuff.
A little of the footy sport there, man. We got Sam directing us in and off the Austin Radio Airways. Man, you listening to a little bit of the jams coming in?
Man, you always got jams, man. That's one thing about you. You know your music.
We try to have some music, man. Yeah. We try to have that natural culture bridge with us, because not everybody's into sports. Like, your show, I don't know if everybody out there is supposed to know the recipe for success. It's supposed to be like 50% shtick and 50% stats and info, man. You try and keep it entertaining so that everybody that's not like diehard sports fans can get in there and talk a little bit about, oh, yeah, man, this, you know, I feel a little bit about the show. You're trying to make everybody welcome. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to have everybody, invite them all to the conversation. That's why we talk a little bit about Game of Thrones and 80s movies and stuff like that. And then we talk a little bit about NBA and sports stuff, too. So, like we say, it's a fantasy-centric show. It's a sports-centric show. It's Sunday morning radio, baby. It's great, man. It's great stuff. You try and, you know, and the music is the way that you can really get everybody involved, I think. Everybody's, oh, man, this is my jam back in the day. You know, I mean, for me, it's a lot of Wu-Tang. It's a lot of Kanye. It's sometimes I'll go into a little bit of Fleetwood Mac and a little bit of alternative rock and classic rock, but for the most part, man, it's usually like my teenage days, growing up listening to Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Doggy Style. my biological mother coming in saying, "This is not how you listen to music, son. The man with the plan is not the man with the gun."
Yeah, I'm sure there was a little worry to her when she saw a picture of the Chronic.
Just a bit.
On your bed.
Oh, God. And she, like, her heart skipped like three beats when she saw I had this awesome poster at Death Row Records, right? And it had Snoop on there, it had Dre on there, it had Shug, like
a lot of felons.
That's a scary
lot of
human.
Felons.
A lot of people that were just misjudged, I'd say.
Yeah, Snoop beat his case. Yeah. Snoop beat his case. Shug, yeah. Not so much.
No, not
yeah.
so much. Shug is still serving time, I think.
Shug's scary.
Yeah, terrifying. I love Shug. Dude. Gentlemen, how y'all doing? We are already off the rails, man. How's y'all's week? Good? Zay, how's your week going? Good?
Good, man. Good.
A lot of NBA, man.
These conference finals, man. I didn't expect them to be blowouts in, you know, Eastern and Western conference finals, but the Warriors, they're going to sweep. And both teams, the Raptors and the Trailblazers, they're just so exhausted from those Game 7 series that they went through.
You think the Denver effect, the altitude effect is still having a toll on its on the legs
just,
still?
Just everything. The altitude, how good Denver is. Like, Denver might have outplayed the Trailblazers the whole series. It's just timely.
And the Blazers stole it away.
Yeah, Blazers just found a way. They just had guys like CJ and Dame that could just create so easily. And I think the Nuggets, it was just too much for them. But yeah, that team could have easily been the conference finals.
Nuggets had Murray, but they did not have Klay Thompson. And that's what you're seeing a lot of the Warriors right now. They have a great defensive game plan coming out when they're talking about the backcourt of the Blazers there. If Dame gets hot, usually you see Klay go to Dame. When CJ starts to get hot, you just roll Klay right on over to CJ, man, until Dame starts to find his stroke, and then Klay goes back. Klay is working. Also, who is working is Draymond Green, not just on the defensive side of the house too, but his vision, man. The guy can see into the future.
It's like Dennis Rodman with just the offensive
and
mindset.
And that's not fair. You're not supposed to have that, man.
That's not. And Dennis Rodman, he really used to change the game, especially in his hay with his rebounding and defense and just how intimidating he was.
Getting
in
extra
general.
Looks to Michael when, yeah. when he was on the Bulls, man.
Yeah, exactly. And like, just
before
being
that,
pest.
When he was doing stuff for the Spurs, dude.
Yeah, from Spurs, and Pistons, anybody that he played with, you know, Dennis Rodman did his thing. And that's what Draymond does with this team. And he just brings that mental toughness that they need. And without KD, you're seeing how good these guys still are. Like, they need to get their credit. Steph Curry needs to get his credit. Like, he's going to be up there with Magic for greatest point guard of all time. I really believe that. Just how he's changed the game. And
yeah.
Yeah, think about it, man. Yeah. Magic had the same resources that Steph had, you know, being around Hall of Fame players, and Steve Kerr will probably
and
be a Hall of Fame
now
coach.
Now we're talking about probably, arguably, the greatest shooter in the association.
I think he is. History, it's not even close. I think
dude,
he is. Especially
you see what he does in pregame, you know, shooting from the logo.
Yeah. Yeah, just the ball handling, like shooting off the dribble. Like, Klay can't shoot off the dribble like that, you know?
No.
It's just...
He can come off a screen and shoot,
yeah.
But he can't shoot. He can't get open while he's on the ball.
Exactly. And, like, you know, Klay's defense and Iguodala's defense on Dame and CJ, man. Again, those guys are exhausted, so...
Wears you down. That's why the twos are looking so good. Too, yeah. Right? I mean, that can also explain why Livingston's having, you know, going out and balling as well. You're also... Like, I don't want to say, I'm not trying to, when Miles Leonard is, I'm sorry, when Miles Leonard is scoring and he's one of your top producers in points for Portland.
It's not good.
No, that's not the recipe for their success. That comes from the backcourt. Maybe if you're going to get any type of production in the paint, you'd think that Enes Kanter would be able to do it. But nah, everybody's strapped, man. And it's because, and I want to touch on this, and we're going to be talking... we'll be talking NBA up until the bottom of the hour, too. We'll have Al Walsh come on, and then we'll round it out. We'll talk a little bit of NHL in the last section of the hour, and we'll have just a tip for you as well. But we're talking NBA with Isaiah Collier and Joe Houston on the Wagner Wire here. And you mentioned it in a little bit of pregame, or I call it pregame. It's pre-show. In our pre-show conversation, going over the notes and everything, you mentioned a little bit about Draymond Green. And this dude is just an all-star caliber type of player. I was under the notion and under the, I guess, opinion that he was a player that was benefiting more of like a product of the system type of player. And tremendous athlete. Obviously, his engine is phenomenal. But you think that he can actually be an all-star on another team, even so much like my Wizards, as a matter, which or no, maybe
absolutely.
Oh, okay,
yeah, absolutely. The thing about Draymond, again, the whole team's a product of their environment. If you want to be completely 100, but the thing about Draymond is that defense starts his offense. So he's always locked in defensively from getting rebounds and pushing the court. And whatever the team needs, that's what he will do. When you see KD in the lineup, you got, you know, Draymond's going to play more of a backseat role, and he's just going to do more Dennis Rodman-like things, like things that don't show up on the stat sheet as much as you would like to see. Now that KD's out, and again, I agree with Dre, Seth Curry.
Dre expands the floor. He can give you big roster and small roster.
Right. I agree with Seth Curry when he went out and said that they are harder to guard without KD because there's more movement. When KD's on the court,
it's more stagnant. You're right.
Everybody else is moving. KD's not moving as much because KD's probably in the post because he's always going to have a mismatch. So when you could throw it to him and then everybody else is cutting off him and KD's probably just going to take the shot. Now you're worried about everybody. Like, everybody's a threat. And it's not just KD. Now, again, Draymond Green, he is definitely dishing it and pushing the pace or whatnot. But when you got Steph and Clay curling and playing, you know, just playing that great two-man ball with, you know, Draymond and Andrew Bogut, and then you got Andre Iguodala out there who's as solid as I don't know what. Like, the whole team's just confident. Dude, they've been there so many times.
You bring up Bogut, right? He wasn't even on the squad not too long ago. They just – he's a new – well, not a new addition, but they just re-added him or – re-added him? Is that a word?
Yeah, that works.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Well, we're not going to get bonus points for that, but, you know, they put him back on – you know, they put him back onto the roster, you know, a new – not a new addition, but an addition to the roster. But, yeah, I mean, he comes in and he didn't even skip a beat. This guy comes in, and now, you know, this dude, he's able to – well – I mean, obviously, he's not giving the productivity that Looney's giving you or Draymond Green's giving you, but it's like
playing important minutes.
Important minutes, getting crucial minutes, and you mentioned the confidence. That's what I was really trying to drive home, is that everybody throughout the coaches to Andrew Bogut, they're confident.
Yeah.
They know they can go in. They know they're gonna be better than anybody that comes on, anybody of the opposing squad that's going to come on the floor.
Quinn Cook, who struggled to even make the league, he had one of the nastiest hesitation moves I've ever seen last night. And you just see, like, man, like, how confident is everybody on this team? Like, when you're just playing
this
with
the conference
Hall
finals.
Of Fame. Yeah, when you're playing with Hall of Fame players. And Steve Kerr, people forget, like, he was a champion when he was a player and champion as a coach. He was, like, playing with championship coaches who are in the Hall of Fame with Pop and Phil Jackson. So Steve Kerr knows how to manage his players and give those guys confidence because he was that player that was given confidence by Pop and Phil Jackson, because we all know Steve Kerr probably wouldn't make the league in today's game.
No,
that's just
sure,
100. He wouldn't make the league.
It's a different league.
It's a different league, but he was the man who hit big shots. And
if you can shoot, you'll be on a roster.
Exactly.
You mentioned that's a great point, man. That championship experience permeates throughout not just your entire squad. I mean, it goes everywhere that you go, and it is a winning formula. It's a winning attitude that the Golden State Warriors have, and it's hard to beat.
Yeah, and that confidence, you watching the Warriors play, the confidence is on the court with the players, with the coaches, but it also infects itself with the fans in the stadium and the people watching at home. I think every one of us was
their opponents. They know what's going to happen.
Every single one of us was probably watching that third quarter when they were down about 15 points, and all of us
were
like,
gonna happen.
One of us was probably like, oh, they're only down 15. Yeah, they'll be leading by the end of the quarter. I said that to my friends I was watching the game with last night, and they were like, wait, what? I was like, yeah, end of the third quarter, they're up 4 points. Like, it happens every time, and that confidence is infectious. Even to us, we're like, oh, yeah, they're fine. We got this.
My kid, he had a couple of his buddies stay over. Sleepover is a living hell, actually, as a parent, but trying to manage that. Shout out, you know, to my son. Happy birthday and everything. It was great. Good times. But now he went upstairs, he's just like, well, this game's over. And I was just like, no, it is not. They were almost up like, what, 20, I think, at one point.
And yeah, 18.
18, and Reed and his friends walk upstairs, and I'm just like, don't go nowhere. Halftime's about to hit, and then all of a sudden the third quarter is going to explode, and the Golden State Warriors will be back up on top. Like death and taxes and clockwork, the Golden State Warriors will find a way to explode, and they did, man. It happens every game. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. And you get it with Kevin Durant, you get it without Kevin Durant. And to speak on Seth Curry's point, they are harder to guard without Kevin Durant. And it's a stagnant half-court offense with Kevin Durant. It is a fluid motion type of half-court offense without Kevin Durant. It's just they're
and that doesn't too, mean they're better.
Much. No, it's a different offense. Just a I'm different glad offense. You said that. It is stupid to sit there and say that it's a better team without the best player in the league.
Nah.
There's just a different offense. Will they be okay without Kevin Durant? Yes, they'll be absolutely fine. Now, if Kevin Durant's that opposing team, they might struggle just a little bit, kind of like what they did with Oklahoma City back in the conference finals three, 4 years ago. You know what I mean? It's just the talent and caliber of player that Kevin Durant is. But you're talking about Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. Probably the three all-stars right there. We're not even talking about Kevin Durant and Boogie Cousins, who now you got the West Coast all-stars playing on one club team.
Yeah, we forget about Boogie.
I forget about Boogie a lot
of the time. You said that KD's best player in the league. Don't you think, because me and Joe talked about this on episode 9 of The Right Call, which is on Apple Podcasts, don't you think KD's legacy is going to be tarnished a little bit with this team doing so well without him? Because that's how I think. Because I remember LeBron and the trash that he had last year with J.R. Smith and guys who just weren't even locked into the game.
That
he took those guys to the finals for four straight years, and then you got KD who's playing with superstars and Hall of Famers, and that's a part of the reason why KD might want to leave, because he wants to be his old man, and he knows that this is going to tarnish his legacy.
He needs to differentiate himself.
Right, because that's what he thought when he came to the Warriors, like, oh, when I get these rings, I'm going to be considered as definitely the best player in the league, when really there's that asterisk by those championships.
You have to be real about it.
That's what it is. That's why I think he's leaving, and that's why it's really hard for me to call him the best player in the league.
Best offensive player in the league.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It. Yeah,
best
for sure.
Offensive player in the league.
Best offensive player. But he's
best,
the fourth
best scorer.
Worst. He's
best
the scorer. Fourth. When Iggy's in that starting lineup, he's the fourth worst defender on that team.
That's
insane. Draymond's a better defender. He's always been a good defender. KD wasn't a good defender with OKC.
No, he was terrible in Seattle. His rookie year, he was getting torched.
Yeah, he wasn't that type of defender in OKC. Now he comes to the Warriors. They have that championship mindset and that defensive mentality and that toughness, and that, KD's influenced by that, so he becomes a better defender. But Klay's always been a great defender. Andre Iguodala's probably one of the best defenders to ever play the game.
Probably half the reason why he got MVP, Finals MVP.
Yeah. So,
not just his offensive output, his defensive performance.
Yeah,
as
that
well.
Strip that he had on Dame. And
was that clean?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
He had the same strip on LeBron in 2017 finals in game 3 after Kevin Durant hit that shot. They gave it to LeBron. Andre Iguodala stripped it out of his hands, and it was out on LeBron. They didn't even get a shot of. Like, that's why he was running back and saying, these hands are crazy. He used a profanity that I can't say on air, but he was like, these hands are crazy. Like, and he's absolutely right. He's one of the greatest defenders of all time. And it's just that Warriors team, we're going to be looking at it 10 years down the line, be like, man, we really took them for granted.
We're going to be looking at this Warriors team like that, too.
Yeah. All the Warriors team. And I saw somebody say on Twitter that Klay, Stephen, and Draymond, we need to start looking at them like Timmy, Manu, and Tony Parker.
I don't think they're all going to stick around for that long. I think Klay's out the door.
I think they're going to pay him, Wax. I really think they're going to pay him. I think they understand what he's done over the years, and they know that KD's gone.
Dude stops anything out on the perimeter, man. He's so clutch at defense, dude. Yeah, sure, you can say that he's got a weakness when it comes to dribbling the rock and when he's on the ball or whatever. He still gets open when he's off the ball, coming off screens and everything. He might take 7 dribbles a game, and he still puts up 27 at times. Come on, man. The dude knows what's up.
Yeah, he's tough.
You got to. You do. I believe if you want to continue with your success, this formula of success that you've had, the pattern of winning, it's got to come down to Klay. You got to pay Klay Thompson, because wherever Klay goes, Klay's going to win.
Yeah,
he's just shooting.
I don't know how good he would be because of what you said.
Yeah,
like,
he's
able
a product
to handle
of the system
ball.
As well.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle the ball. And when Steph's handling the ball, Klay doesn't have to worry about, getting open like Steph has to worry about getting open.
Well, a lot of times, too, like Steph's going to draw in that defender as well to get Klay open.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much space on the floor because of Steph.
Right, yeah.
All these guys, they're not moving that much. It's Steph moving and all the defense moving to Steph. That's what's going on. The motion offense, we speak this from time to time. The motion offense is tough to run. You can't run it to this
I mean, it looks like they're running perfection almost every time down the floor.
Yeah, you got to have crazy basketball IQ to just run the motion because it's all reads, reading your man. If your man goes over, then I'm going to slip. If my man stays under, then I'm going to pop out to the ball or curl or whatnot. So, yeah, they play that game right.
Good stuff right here. Let's talk a little fantasy element to it. I mean, moving forward, you got to take Steph. He's got to be your catalyst, right? He's got to be in your fantasy lineup all the time. I mean, it's baller on a budget. I understand it. It's $50,000 to make do with nine players here. But, I mean, my goodness, boys, how do you not have Steph in there? You got to have – I mean, talk about the studs. Now, sure, you're going to have to go down and get your budget players. But for me, that's probably Looney. You can get some good, decent minutes from the Golden State – with this Golden State bench with Looney. But it's got to come down to Steph. And on the other side, I'd like to think that I'd take CJ, but I don't know who to take out of this Blazers backcourt, man. You think is game four the time that Dame gets hot?
No, I think they're done.
They're done?
Stick a fork in them.
Yeah, it's over. It's
And Dame has separated ribs now. That's all coming out. I love how that stuff comes out after you're done.
Yeah.
After you know like the series is over.
Stick a fork in them, they're done.
Yeah, like when LeBron punched the fire extinguisher last year in the finals after game one, and then he was terrible the rest of the series. Like, come on.
Let's go over to the East real quick. We know that the ball and all the offense runs through Giannis Antetokounmpo there for the Bucks and what is it, Buck Wild? What's their thing? Fear the Deer? Is that their thing? They should go with Buck Wild, man.
Buck Wild.
Absolutely, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. Get it up in the club. Buck Wild, man. We're getting Buck Wild up in here, up in Milwaukee. Yeah, man. It's a crazy Saturday. It's Sunday. Is it still Saturday? Man, I didn't sleep much last night. Five kids. Good stuff from Isaiah Collier and Joe Houston there. You can hear their luscious voices on The Right Call. What, episode 9? When's 10 dropping?
Friday, man.
That's a milestone, man.
You get
extra points in NBA 2K19 if you do that stuff. You get, reach a certain point in your milestone. You guys don't play NBA 2K19?
Yeah, I dabble with 2K for sure.
I was playing a little bit of 2K last night, man.
Were you really?
I suck. Yeah. I'm terrible. I don't
know. It's tough. I'm not going to lie.
Too many buttons.
It's a tough game.
What happened to A and B? You just hit A and B. Like a Hoop Dreams. Nah, that Hoop Dreams was a movie.
NBA Jam?
NBA Jam was legit. Yes. NBA Live with the diagonal screen, that was legit. What else was legit? Oh, Double Dribble sucked. I'm sorry. That was classic. Oh, Arch Rivals. Y'all probably don't even remember Arch Rivals.
Yeah, that might have been before my time.
Yeah, NBA Jam was where it's at. You could play as Clinton. That was fun.
Yeah, and Air Dog, though. Air Dog was the man. Air Dog, y'all don't even know. You couldn't play with Mike. That's the only thing. That's the only dude you couldn't play with, Michael Jordan. He wouldn't give you the rights.
Nah, man. That guy.
Can't do it. You can't play with me. You can't play with me. You can't smoke my cigars, let alone play with me. That's a bad Michael Jordan impression. All right, on the other side of it, man, we're going to have Al Walsh. He's going to be talking a little bit about MLB, NBA, and everything else when it comes to sports bets. You're listening to the Wagner Wire on the Horn.
To the Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Here I am. Here's Wags. Yep. You listen to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com and download the Horn app. The Horn app. Yeah, you can find it, on the Apple Store, the Google Store, Apple iTunes. All you got to do, it's pretty easy, man. You just Google the Horn. Actually, you can go old school style, actually, too, and get 104.9. That pops up as well. But if you want to hear this guy's soothing sounds of Al Walsh, and you're outside of the vicinities here of our local terrestrial radio range, then you're going to have to get the app. That's the reason why you do that, and that's the reason why we have Al Walsh on here, is because we like to hear his soothing sounds over the app, because he breaks down all the sports bets that we need to know when it comes to NBA and MLB. Mr. Walsh, I ate a Butterfinger right before I came on the air here, Walsh.
Those are good. Those
How you doing,
good.
Man? Yeah, too bad it's from Easter.
Well, that's the benefit of having a kid.
It is a little bit, man. What are you, on the road, traveling a little bit? You going northbound or southbound today, Walsh?
Northbound. I was had a little weekend down the shore here, heading back up towards Jersey City. Buddy's having a nice little housewarming party.
Wait, one of those. Walsh, were you on Jersey Shore?
Not necessarily, but, in the vicinity. But now my buddy's actually having a nice little housewarming party up there in Jersey City. One of those one of those condos right
are,
there. On
are
the
you
York
in the
City
shagging
skyline.
Wagon right now? Are you in a party wagon?
I am not. Definitely not a party wagon.
All right, man. What you got for this week, man? What's going on this Sunday, dude? This sports betting Sunday for Al Walsh.
Well, yesterday was kind of crazy because I really wanted to take a triple-double, like on FanDuel Sportsbook. You can make a bet where, one of those prop bets is somebody's going to have a triple-double. So I was really looking at the numbers there on Dame Lillard and Steph Curry, and they just hadn't done it much this year. And they were at, like, I think Steph was at, like, plus 3,300, Dame Lillard at plus 3,800. But Draymond Green was at plus 500 yesterday. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to be worth it. Lo and behold, Dre having one of those patented games right there. So that ended up coming through. That looks like that's going to be a short series, just like I expect for the Bucks and the Raptors here. I called a sweep. What's up?
I said I called a sweep. I know you did too, right? Yeah. You called a sweep too.
Yeah, with the Bucks, I did say in four. I mean, I think realistically, Toronto could probably grab one, but they don't. If they grab a game, it's because Milwaukee's going to be playing at their worst. They don't deserve a game in this series. But
I agree with that.
I'm definitely rolling with the Bucks tonight. They're just too hot. This roster is so much better than the Raptors. -2 money line, whichever you want to do. Anyway. Fear the deer, my man.
Yeah, what's Nick Nurse got to get going for his squad? I mean, he's got to generate a little bit of something besides just Kawhi doing it all, right?
Yeah, I think honestly it's just the role players have to do their job. So we saw Norman Powell hit a couple shots in game two. You know, guys like that got to step up. And it's amazing because in game one you had Siakam, you had Lowry playing absolutely out of their minds.
Siakam's been playing out of his mind all year, man. He's been having a great year.
And not only could they not get the win, they didn't even cover the damn spread there at the end. So, you know, that's just a really bad sign for Toronto. You know, if they're not going to be able to win when they get production like that out of Lowry and Siakam, it will be a sweep. Make no doubts about it. But in terms of getting Kawhi loose, I don't know what they can do. The Bucks just have so many lengthy guys that make life difficult on them. They're double-teaming them. They're forcing them to give up the ball to these other guys. And, you know, Milwaukee will just gladly watch as Kyle Lowry, Siakam, Danny Green, guys like that just, you know, take threes up. I mean, Marcus Gasol's taking threes even, too. They'll gladly take that all series long.
Right. We're talking a little bit about the Eastern Conference Finals here. Let's go back a little bit on this Western Conference Finals. About the matchup last night, Golden State pulled it out. Golden State dominated 110-99 over the Blazers. We mentioned the backcourt of CJ and Dame not really being able to get going. More than likely, or mainly the main reason, because of Klay Thompson and just his ability to play perimeter defense, whether it be on CJ or Dame, whoever is getting hot. Seems to be a simple strategy but effective strategy for the Golden State Warriors. Have you been seeing any of the trends as far as over-under? Has it been a lot more of the overs coming out for this backcourt, or not backcourt, but for this matchup here on the West Coast?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I bet the over last night, which did not go out so well, but I caught a live line there late with Golden State, which kind of evened everything out. And then, of course, had the under 7.5 rounds on that Wilder fight last night, which was over, you know, not too long after.
Like
the
1 second?
But yeah, it has mostly been overs. You know, if it weren't for Portland throwing up a complete dud in the third quarter last night, that probably would have hit the over. But I heard you guys talking a little earlier about, you know, without KD, the offense is just, you know, for the Warriors, their offense is just a lot more fluid, a lot more motion, things like that. And that's why, you know, you've seen more of these overs come out recently before last night. And, you know, even too, like, you definitely lose some defense out there with Durant as well, you know, being out. So, you know, I think game four, you're going to see a lot of chucking and ducking, you know, kind of the last, it's probably going to be the last home game, if not the last game for Portland this season. So I expect them to go out with a bang and hopefully we get the over there.
It's not a matter of if, but when. It's always the Warriors exploding. It's usually in the third quarter. In the third quarter of the game last night, 29 points to Portland's 13 points. That's the tail of the tape, if you ask me, to make a boxing reference. You just mentioned the Whitaker fight. We've been talking about it, not to beat a dead horse here, but this series is done. It's over. Portland's going to be eliminated. Okay. The Warriors will go on to their consecutive umpteenth,
it seems now, what is it? I think it's actually like three or four, though. Four? What you got? Five? Five in a row? Five in a row for the Golden State Warriors representing the West Coast. Going to hoist a trophy for the association. Now, they'll have to fear the deer, as you like to say, or like I like to say, they'll have to get buck wild with it going up there with Milwaukee. How about that? You like that?
Buck nasty.
Buck nasty, too. We can get buck nasty. We can get a little buck nasty. Show me a good time. That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah. On a Sunday, too, man. All right, Walsh. We've been talking a little bit about the hard court there in the association. Let's go over to your seam head knowledge. What do we like around the diamonds here?
I really like the Brewers today. -125 on the money line.
Even though Yelich is showing like he's a little bit human, I mean, the guy went, you know, 0-for-4 yesterday, man. The guy might be down to earth after all.
The cure for all slumps, Mike Fultonavich on the mound for the Braves today. So, yeah, you just have two pitchers that are moving in opposite directions. Brandon Woodruff has been outstanding for the Brewers over his last four starts, all against NL East opponents. So, hey, guess what Atlanta is? Got to keep the trend rolling. And, again, too, you know, I have the affinity for teams that are trying to avoid a sweep. You know, the Brewers lost the first two in this one after dominating my Phillies. So, yeah, I definitely like the Brewers today to avoid the sweep. Actually, big offensive day coming. Fultonavich, it's hysterical. The Braves, in all four of his starts this season, the team themselves has allowed at least nine runs in all the games. So, again, with that Brewers lineup, a lot of power there. I expect them to get the job done today wholeheartedly.
Nice. I like it, man. Anything else around the diamonds?
Absolutely. We'll go to your neck of the woods in Texas. Just a huge pitching mismatch today with the Cardinals and the Rangers. Jack Flaherty going up against Drew Smyly. Smiley's just been getting beat over the head, you know, and again, a bad lefty like that. Now, while St. Louis hasn't been, you know, top of the league in terms of metrics against lefties, you know, Drew Smyly just is really bad. So you got a lot of right-handed bats from the Cardinals today going up against Smyly. So I don't necessarily like the 1.5 run line here just because Flaherty's road numbers haven't been that good. But just in terms of talking about, you know, the matchup here against this pitch, I expect the Cardinals to put up a lot of runs on the board early.
Some of the big bats out of this contest here, obviously Gallo there. You like Gallo from a fantasy standpoint. You like Goldie on the other side of that lineup as well. How about Carpenter?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can go with the top six. I mean, assuming that they're going to have their normal lineup in today. You know, whether you're going to have Carp, Goldie, you know, who else? Ozuna. Yadi Molina. They could throw Yadi at DH today on a Sunday if they'd like. So, yeah, I'd say a lot of those guys out there would be good. And, hell, it's Texas, right?
Right.
So, you know, hot temps plus baseballs equals home runs.
Yeah, I guess. And it's going to be not just hot temps on the outside, probably some hot temps in the stands as well. These two respected fan bases don't like each other. It's still some bad blood and a bad taste in their mouth. Yeah, it comes down to this little matchup called the World Series a couple of years ago, Walsh.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth fan base still still not too keen on the boys from St. Louis, especially, you know, we tried to make amends with it a little bit here on the ice to try to cool off these matters, and still it's a
valiant effort.
Tempers are still heated, my man. All right, what else is going around the diamond today?
All right, so two more for baseball. Definitely like the Diamondbacks today. Now, this is a game where you can go with the 1.5 run line, try to steal some money there. Robbie Ray going up against Drew Pomeranz. Again, two pitchers heading in opposite directions. The thing here is, so both teams are going to be facing the lefty. Giants right near the bottom of the league in terms of advanced metrics against left-handed pitching, while the Diamondbacks are top of the league in most advanced metrics against left-handed pitching. Diamondbacks just faced Mad Bum last night. While Mad Bum got off to a good start, you know, he kind of fell off a little there at the end. But, I mean, hey, you can look at this, as I wrote in today's article, you could look at Mad Bum as, like, really good practice for going up against Pomeranz today. But this is a game where, you know, Robbie Ray, again, he's just been at the top of his game. The total in this game actually dropped a half a run as well. So I think that lends itself to some optimism for Ray. But again, I think that you can probably steal one here with the 1.5 run line and go with the Diamondbacks there. And then for Sunday Night Baseball, loving the Cubbies tonight.
All right, the juiciness, let's get it.
You know what's hysterical is that both. I don't think either one of these guys throw over 90 miles an hour. So, you know, we do have a 10-run total on this one. I expect most of it to come from the Cubs side of things.
Right.
But, you know, while Kyle Hendricks is a soft tosser, he can hit his spot. We can call him a homeless man's Greg Maddux if we want to.
That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah. But, you know, again, I just when you look in terms of the pitching matchups, that's certainly Hendricks definitely has the upper hand there. And, again, too, Chicago's bullpen much better than Washington as well. I think maybe going with the over could be a bit risky because I could see Hendricks, you know, he'll usually pop off with a good start every now and again. But definitely the Cubs in this one, you know, rather than the over.
It's a good stuff, man. It's always potent from Al Walsh. And before we get you out of here, man, where else can they find that potent product of yours, brother?
14-8 Al Walsh on Twitter, and then spreadknowledge.com for all the daily articles for MLB. By the way, absolutely smoking hot this week. Like, I might buy a boat.
Well, hey, man, if you need a first mate, call me up, brother. Let me help you take that thing out on the water.
We'll do.
All right, man, you know I already got my sea legs. You know that. All right, brother, it is Al Walsh, man. He joins the Wagner Wire every Sunday bringing you that potent product, man. We love his work, and you love it too. Al, thank you very much, man. We'll talk to you next week. And there he goes. He's already gone. He is on a road trip. That's right, and we're hoping you're enjoying your road trip. On the other side of it, you're going to listen to more of the Wagner Wire here on the Horn.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire. You're listening to us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com. Just had Al Walsh on talking a little bit about MLB and NBA and the sports betting lines, money lines, prop bets. Going back to the conversation with Joe and Zay here, talking a little bit about these NBA conference finals. Touched a little bit about the West out on the left coast. Let's go to the right coast here out east. Talk about Buck Nasty. Buck Wild, Fear the Deer, whatever you want to say. But one thing that's not happening and it's not going well above north of the border there for the Toronto Raptors and Mr. Nurse. Man, you got to generate a little bit more offense than just Kawhi taking 51 shots per game. I'm just saying, man. You really don't have much going on offensively as far as output beyond the arc besides Danny Green. And now it looks like I mean, maybe Kyle Lowry will show up. I don't know. You never know what you're going to get there. It's the playoffs. You kind of know. You essentially know he's probably not going to show up. But
he's going to play hard.
He'll try. He'll try, Jennifer.
Hey, how about that? CJ met Jennifer. Did you guys see that?
I saw that. That's
CJ,
cool.
Rachel Nichols and NBA on TNT or NBA on ESPN set it up to where CJ McCollum met Jennifer.
How are people showing Jennifer love? Jennifer's like the biggest hater.
She hates them.
She just hates.
Win a playoff game, then we'll talk.
That's hater.
That is not positive connotation there. That is negative. Negativity.
She gets
We're
ESPN
trying,
air
Jennifer.
Time.
Yeah.
We're trying. Sparked the greatest meme of all time. You know what I mean? It really did. Or the greatest one-liner on the internet. But
she's famous for hating. What a world we live in.
That's it. And that's why CJ was reluctant to give her that hug.
I wouldn't have given her no hug.
Yeah.
Please.
We're trying, Jennifer. God, that's so great. Let's go. Let's break down. We broke down the Western Conference Finals a little bit at the bottom of the hour before Walsh got on. Let's talk a little bit about this East. You mentioned a little bit about Malcolm Brogdon. Let's expand a little bit about that.
Defensively, he is Klay Thompson-esque. Like, that's how good he is defensively. And he just has that demeanor about him. Like, nothing rattles him. When he's on the court, you know he's always going to be in the right spot.
Wants the challenge as well.
Yeah, wants the challenge.
Wants the assignment.
Like, he's out here guarding Kawhi. And, like, obviously Kawhi's still getting his buckets, but he's making it really difficult for him. Man.
He's wearing him out. He's wearing down Kawhi.
Yeah, and people forget, like, this guy was a rookie of the year. He was in the 50-40-90 club, which means he shot over 50% from the field, 40% from 90% from the free throw line, which if you go look at all the cats that have done that, most of them are in the Hall of Fame. Like, you're in great category if you're doing that.
Right.
So just the way he plays, like, they're so deep, Milwaukee, with Ilyasova and George Hill and Brogdon, all those guys coming off the bench. And again, like, I didn't think George Hill would be this good. I thought he was washed with how bad he played with Cleveland last year in the finals, but I think that was just the stress of playing with a LeBron James team that everybody gets.
I mean, that is Because that is an added stress, right?
That's a thing. People don't realize. LeBron is the hardest player ever to play with. And you would think it would be the easiest to play because he's going to create for you.
He demands a lot of you.
He demands a lot of you, and then the media is going to kill you because everybody knows LeBron's going to come to play. Are you going to be able to make your shots as a role player and do what you need to do? And
which is weird because you'd think that the media would be more absorbed or more just infatuated with LeBron, right?
You would think that he would suck.
Or absorb most of the media and take away from his role players.
Me and Joe talked about this on episode 9 of The Right Call. And you know, me and you, Wags, take mental health and this very seriously. But Kevin Love didn't have mental health problems in Minnesota.
Correct.
He came and played with LeBron and got all that stress on him, and you know, now the stakes are a lot higher. I'm glad
you all said this. Now you can find episode 9 on iTunes of The Right Call, but let's go, since we got you guys right here, let's just expand a little bit, just touch a little bit about that, what you guys talked about on episode 9 with mental health.
Yeah, really, we didn't talk mental health very much, but we talked about the fact that Kevin Love started having mental health problems when he got to Cleveland, and the expectations became a lot higher. And I think that is due to playing with LeBron. And we're going to see that this summer with free agency. A lot of people might not, you know, find LA as attractive because they don't want the hassle that comes with playing with LeBron James.
And there's a reason why I went to that, because I wanted to touch. Now, we're getting a little hypothetical and we're jumping ahead of ourselves going into next season, but mental health is a huge part of the deal. It's a huge part of our lifestyles. We mentioned and flirted with the idea of Kevin Durant going to New York. He doesn't really respond well to negative criticism from the media right now in Golden State, and that you can argue is a more softer, cushier type of media that he will get when he gets to New York. He is going to get eaten alive when it comes to the New York media. I don't know if he is processing this or if this is weighing in when it comes or factoring in when it comes to his decision-making process going out to New York. But if I was Kevin Durant and you don't like embracing the media that much and you don't like having the spotlight on you that much and you don't want to handle the New York media, go somewhere else, man. You can go to Boston. You can go to Boston. It's essentially the same type of media, but you can step down just a little bit. Now,
you know, sports teams are winning, like New England and the Red Sox. So they could bash them.
Sorry, Sam.
They could bash them, and, you know, that's what you have to worry about with Boston. In New York, nobody's really winning. So, you know, you have that pressure of just they expect, you know, for you to win the championship every year. And plus, basketball is the so-called Mecca in New York, even though people could hoop in other places. But New Yorkers take their basketball very seriously.
Is there another spot that you could see Kevin Durant going to, or something that he would what's more appealing to him as far as his legacy? I know New York would be the one that would solidify it. Like, if you brought the Knicks back to prominence after 25 years, after two decades of just dungeons and doom, you would solidify yourself as one of the top players essentially to ever play the game, right? Like, then you can sit there and say, I didn't go to Golden State. I didn't just piggyback off of three other all-stars to get my rings. Now I'm doing it with me and another Kyrie, or maybe Kemba. Maybe it's Kemba Walker instead of Kyrie Irving. Maybe Kemba Walker finally gets his due and somebody gives him a super contract and gets him on a team and they start to build. But to me, where is another? I just don't think that Durant would be a really good fit in New York. I think the New York media would eat him alive. I do think that he would be decent in Boston. It's a similar type of media base, but they're not as ruthless. You know what I mean? I mean, they're critical. Obviously, they're critical, but it ain't New York critical. But is there another team out east maybe that you guys think that Kevin Durant belongs to?
Yeah, I think would be
a better fit.
Yeah, a few years ago it was kind of talked about. He's a DC kid.
He's from Washington. Now you're flirting with my emotions. Are you playing with me, man?
I could see him going to the Wizards. That a couple of years ago, that looked more
Montrose
likely.
Christian Academy. Yeah, I know about it.
And they were talking about it. That'd be a good spot for him. If he went there and won, I think that would also solidify his legacy, because that's been not a quality franchise pretty much ever. Like, they haven't really had much success ever. And he was able, if he was able
what
to bring
talking about,
DC
man?
A title. Yeah. They're normally
we had Agent Zero.
They're yeah, exactly.
We had Mike bring
exactly.
it back.
Exactly.
We
so,
had the fist pump.
Yeah, which
Rip Hamilton.
Gilbert Arenas was an incredible player to watch, but he wasn't bringing anybody titles.
Bernard King. We had yeah. Bernard King yeah. back in the latter portions of his day. Back yeah. with the Bullets.
Yeah, so I think if he went to Washington, there'd be less stress from a media standpoint for sure.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe it's a more of a comfortable thing because he's back home where,
sure.
where he's from and it's family.
But,
so
but that can have a lot of distractions, though.
True. But if he's successful there, yeah, that would 100% cement his legacy. Let's say they win a title or two.
Yeah.
Like, if he went to Washington, won a title
or two. You're
essentially
starting from the bottom.
Yeah,
up.
He'd be.
You got Bradley Beal. So you got two shooters, but I think you need a solidified big. Kevin Durant needs a big man. The next team that you go to, you need. The other all-star that you're coming in with, I think needs to be a, if it's not a point guard, it needs to be somebody that's a legitimate big man, which there's not too many of those around the association anymore. It's just getting to a smaller league.
That's true. Yeah. And like maybe Anthony Davis, there's so much up in the air. This offseason is going to be really interesting.
I think Brooklyn is an attractive look okay. also. Yeah, because that's
and
still
is,
New
dude,
York.
It is Kevin Durant's attitude.
Yeah.
That is type of his. That's his type of attitude, like hipster type of deal too. I mean, that's just what, from my opinion.
Yeah, he's very chilled, laid back really in his own back. Way. But I think Brooklyn
he's got six Twitter accounts, but still.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn is definitely a lot more appetizing than the Knicks, just because the front office at the Knicks have you know have a history of making bad decisions,
right.
And I don't think Kevin Durant.
Look at their owner now.
Yeah, when you go from Golden State, who makes great decisions, you want to you know go somewhere where you're comfortable, obviously. And again, talked about mental health. I think that at this point of his career, I think KD is more comfortable with himself. So I think wherever he goes, he'll be fine. I think that other superstar coming in, like Kyrie, I think him and Kyrie are really tight. And
right.
that's more of a thing than what we think, like them teaming up together. Because this past year in Boston with Kyrie was absolutely terrible.
He needs something.
Yeah, he needs a change. And, you know, it just left a sour taste in the Celtics'
mouth. I mean,
Marcus
Smart had some good words to say about Kyrie in the locker room.
Terry Rozier did not.
Yeah, Scary Terry did not. He didn't hold back. No filter on Scary Terry as well. One more team that I wanted to float past you guys to see if it's a good fit and to see contractually I think it can work. They'd have to make some move a little bit of money around a little bit, but what about Kevin Durant going to the Spurs?
I can't see that.
Nope.
I can't see him staying in the West, man.
All right. But
he
would play for Pop.
I mean, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't play for Pop? And obviously the Spurs would go after him if KD was considering that, but I think KD knows that, you know.
He's just jumping onto another franchise to go to the Spurs. He still needs to differentiate himself.
Yeah, he needs to be his own man completely, and that's Pop's organization and
right
team.
On. Good stuff, gentlemen. Good stuff. All right, on the other end of it, you got to stick around a little bit, man. On the other end of it, man, we'll talk a little. We're going to get into some top 80s. Fantasy draft time. Top 80s movies. And again, I kind of set ourselves up for failure here because I should not have been a little bit more vague. I should have maybe given a subclass. You know what I mean? Because how do you just make five movies out of the 80s? I mean, you got to go, like, you got some rom-com. You can get five out of rom-coms. You can get five comedy. You can get five horror movies. The 80s had a lot going on. We're going to talk about that on the other side of it. You're listening to The Wagner Wire.